I'm on here a little bit early. Make sure everything's trying to go right this morning. It's blinking at me like it's not. Oh, I think it's going correctly. Good morning, everyone. How are you on this Monday morning? I see, I am trying to, I guess I used to do these, as many of you know, a couple years ago, and just got on and wanted to share what God was sharing with me. And got away from that for a little while, and I'm trying to do it again and making sure it's working right. Last week was a little different, so let's see if Facebook tells me I'm on. Funny, I guess it's on. Okay, so I, yes, sorry. If you missed last week, I do have it uploaded. Again, we had some technical difficulties, so you can go back and watch it. I'm just sharing, like I say, what God's sharing with me. Last week, God gave me, brought me right away to a devotion I had done a few years ago, 2 years ago almost exactly, and I shared that with you. But this week, we have had a lot going on. Many of you know that my husband has had 4 surgeries this week. And small, minor, in the big scheme of things, not like big surgeries. But it still was every day we had to figure out what was going on and had to go through that. So as we were driving home one day, I was still looking around at the hurricane debris because we have had 2 hurricanes within 6 weeks of each other here, and there has been a lot of damage and a lot of devastation done. But right after one of the first surgeries, my husband had just very, very tender on his back, inflammation, very painful. And, you know, it just hit me. Damage is done in an instant, but recovery takes a while. So I just sat there and thought, isn't that funny? Because that's the lesson we're learning with a little bit of everything right now with the hurricanes, because so many people, we are almost 90 days out. And so many people have yet to have things done because it's a long process, especially when you have as many homes as we've had damaged. We have an enormous amount of homes damaged, so it's going to take a long time here. But so is that process of wound healing for my husband. And I don't know, God just spoke to me that sometimes things come in our lives. In your lives, and it's instant. You know, it's a phone call, it's whatever it is, but that recovery process takes a while. And I pondered that and thought, it does. Why does it take so long, dear Lord? Why does it take so long? Why can't it just be poof and we're better? Don't we all want that? Why can't it be poof, our house is rebuilt. Poof, the reconstruction is done. It's a process. So, you know, even if it was one home around here, I was thinking, would it take this long? Yes. Reconstruction to a home takes a while. You know, you have to gather the supplies, you have to order them, you have to make your list of what to order, then you have to go get them, then you have to make sure they're correct and the correct ones and the right size and do they fit. You know what I'm saying? Even if it was just one home around here, recovery takes a while. Physically, our bodies respond the same. If you've ever been hit by the flu or strep throat or anything, you know that one instant you're feeling fine, and pretty much the next instant, you are feeling terrible. You're fatigued. Your body starts aching. Your head starts aching. You're like, I need to go lay down. I mean, you literally probably recount to the people when you go back to work, I was feeling fine one moment, the next moment, I wasn't fine at all. Okay, so recovery takes a while from that. You gotta get your strength and endurance back. You gotta get the nutrients back in your body that you lost because you probably didn't eat much. You probably lost some weight. The physical wound that needs to heal. Like I say, we are walking through that right now with my husband. The fourth surgery he had to do. Like I say, they're minor little surgeries, but it was to create a flap to close the wound, and that didn't take but a couple of hours. But you know what? recovery is going to take a long time. It's a pretty good sized wound. Then I looked up. I'm an occupational therapist and I do wound care. So then I looked up and I was like, what are those stages of wound healing? And it was funny because it brought me back to, there's so much that goes in. When you have an initial wound, you're going to have things that go over, up into your wound area to have a blood clotting formation and form that scab. That's the body's first defense, is it's got to do that so that you don't bleed out and that you have a scab to protect it from. It's got God's band-aid to protect it from infection. I want to say inflammation, sorry. Protect it from infection. In that process of getting all those things there, white blood cells are going there, nutrients, enzymes, all kinds of things are getting there, antibodies, to help that wound start the healing process. Once they've got it stabilized, that body's reached that homeostasis in that point. It's like, okay, I'm stabilized, I'm neutral, I'm not losing blood. Now I need to start. That process, that inflammation is going to come along, the heat, the redness, the pain, the swelling maybe, but that process, you've got lots of things happening in that wound healing process, and it takes a while to formulate tissue and collagen and these fibroblasts that lay down that make it stronger and give it good tensile strength, and then you've got new blood vessels that form to that wound. Isn't that amazing that God does that? You can't have fibroblasts making a thick, nice scarred over, a thick, nice new tissue while a new blood vessel is trying to form, because they're not going to be having the same goal. There's a different goal at each stage of wound healing. You can't rush that. Does that make sense? So, Facebook is telling me something. That, and then I was reading at the end of it, it says that, like I just looked at one couple of sites that on wound healing just to get some information because it was just kind of interesting. I find this stuff interesting, but it says maturation or remodeling is the end stage of the wound healing process. It takes place as soon after your wound has closed. This stage may continue for a couple of years and involves repair of the dermal tissues to improve their tensile strength. During this stage, the functional fibroblasts will replace non-functional one, and the number of blood vessels in the area will also decrease gradually. Years. When a shoulder surgery patient comes, it's amazing that we will tell them it'll be 6 months to a year before you'll regain full recovery. And they're like, what? We're like, you're not gonna probably be with us the whole time, but it's a long time. So I think we tend to want to rush through so many phases. I think this is what I was getting from God. We want to rush through so many phases in life. I did. And recovery just takes a while. Around here with the hurricanes, everybody just, our mantra has been, it's a journey or it's a marathon. And we've had to say that to each other around here. Because so many of us are like, I'm so tired of living with it like this. I'm so tired of seeing this, that I don't have any walls up, that I can't move back to my house. Yes, it is, but it's such a recovery process. I thought, why does recovery take so long? I remember thinking with God, why does it take so long? But in all the things I thought of where something either grows and matures, whether it's from a wound or a tree, I thought about a tree. How long does it take for that tree to grow to its majestic heights and withstand 145 mile an hour wind? We had trees, many trees that are still standing around here. Looks like so many are gone, and they are some that we would have never suspected to be felled, but they're gone. But some of them withstood that. That is maturation. That is growing strength. A baby has to learn so many things in different stages before it can get up and walk and run and turn cartwheels or learn sports. All those things take time because the body has to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and have a muscle memory of those movements, and then it gets more and more proficient at it. It's like, say, just you think about it from physically, if you get cold or strep or whatever, you have a wound, you have a damaged home, any of those things, recovery is going to take a while. What was God trying to tell me? I think that just look at him in the journey. see what I need to learn in that journey. I have not always been good at that. I have not always been good at that. In fact, someone gave me a journal this earlier this year, and beginning of the year, or end of the last year, and the front flap of that calendar said, "Enjoy the journey." And I'm like, that's what I'm trying to process, that I'm not doing well with that. So it was just kind of nice and ironic that she did that. But it's a journey. What should you do in the recovery process? So I started sitting down thinking, okay, we all know that damage occurs in an instant and recovery can take a while. We all know that. I'm not going to get on Facebook or my Monday meditation and say that it's not rocket science. I just sat with God and said, what do we do in the recovery process? Because that's where it's the hardest for most of us. That's where many times you get so frustrated and angry and upset, and unhealthy things that happen emotionally and physically. One of the first things, and I'm going to talk to you about a biblical example in a minute, but one of the first things that I thought of was you have to acknowledge that you have a wound or you have damage. I know that sounds silly, but you have to acknowledge that it's there. It lets you be clear about what comes next. If you don't have a wound or a damaged home, then you don't need to formulate a plan or gather supplies for that plan. But if you do have a wound or a damaged home and you don't formulate a plan or gather supplies, it can be detrimental or deadly. Okay? So acknowledge what you have. Acknowledge where you are. No, this is where I am. This is what I'm going through. God gave me all A's for this, okay? Acknowledge the time it will take. All that planning and gathering takes time and effort, patience and care. None of those things can be rushed. Okay? You can't spend all the time or figuring out what supplies you need, order the supplies, get the supplies, put the supplies up in the same day. You can't. You can't. You know what I'm saying? It's going to take time. We know that for things like such as wound healing. I mean, repairing your home, but for wound healing as well. You have to know what to do. Apply the brakes to rush out and get on with life. I like to say, I want to be done with that and go on with the next thing. You have a new life that has a wound. You have a new life that has a damaged home. I mean, I'm using those two examples because we're living with both of those. You need instructions for healing. It was funny. Went over to my husband's handout and read something. He goes, "Oh, I can't do such and such." And he looked at me and he was like, "Oh, you know, like take the bandage off in 48 hours or whatever." He was like, "You know, they probably told him quite a few things when he was done. That's normal. I've had situations like that as well." But they handed him a piece of paper as well. Because they knew that in the midst of that first stages of that damage, you don't think well. You don't retain information as well. It's normal. So, you know, you've got to apply the brakes and know that it's going to take some time, and stop and listen. Read over the piece of paper next time when you get home or whatever, or have your wife read it to you. Do you know what I'm saying? Apply the brakes. Apply the good stuff too. You know, apply the bandage, apply the ointment, apply the essential oil, apply the guidelines to your daily routine, apply the diet and the nutrients that you need into your daily life. There are things that you won't do because you applied the brakes and stopped. There are things you need to apply. Apply the brakes that you should not be doing that impede your growth and recovery. My husband, when I first, the fourth day, I came home, I'd gathered some, went and got some few groceries, and he came out to help me carry the groceries in, and I went, no. And he's like, "Well, I have to allow this other arm," because it was on his back, it was like a shoulder surgery. He was like so painful to move around. They had stitched up really tight, you know. And all I could think of as an occupational therapist is, if you carry weight in this hand, you're gonna have to tense up on the other side, no, to stabilize, you know. So I was like, no. I would not, you know, you have to apply the brakes on things that impede growth and recovery. Now, I probably would have carried something light, but I said it was only light things that I had. I said, I got it. This is a few bags. I would not have thought he was lazy if he wouldn't come out and help me with the groceries. I would have thought he was in the house recovering, doing what he should have been doing, you know. The next thing is accept. You know, after my car wreck a few years ago, it was very hard for me to accept that I would be in the recovery process as long as I was. Very hard. My mind, I don't know why, but I can tell you my mindset in the beginning was, man, if I just can get some physical therapy, get some hot packs and some e-stim, stuff like that for about 3 weeks, I'll be fine. It was way longer than 3 weeks. I had the therapist telling me, I'm an occupational therapist, I work with this, but it was so funny. They're like, Vonda, it's going to take some time. Vonda, it's gonna take some time. And I'm like, can't you just make it feel good and then I'm better? I mean, I got a whole new level of respect for recovery process when I had to walk through it personally. But I was in awe. I think I was stunned for most of the time. I just did not have a good comprehension of how long it would take. And to this day, I still have so much muscle memory of, thankfully, it's not as bad, obviously, but if some tense up in the car or whatever, one side tenses up more usually. You know, like I say, I've gotten past that stage, but it was shocking to me that this side didn't. And I'm thinking, I was straightforward when I inhaled and kind of, but that recovery process takes a while. My muscles are like, oh yeah, we need to protect that side. That side was really hurt. You know, you need to accept physically and emotionally the help that comes your way. I'm gonna tell you all these kind of stories, but I remember when I went on bed rest for my daughter. It was so hard for me when people came over and helped us. It was my first time to experience that. But you know what? They loved us. They wanted to bless us. But that was hard to do. You can call on a friend to express your hurts or weep over the ruins because your life may never be the same. I mean, that's okay. God gives us people. A good friend can sympathize, and then they help you get back on track when it's time. If you don't have a friend, I'm going to tell you, I like to read the Psalms because David talked about every emotion under the sun, I think. You know, he just expressed what he was going through. We are so shut off and we don't want to talk about things sometimes, but David realized quite often that he was not okay. And it's okay to not be okay. Somehow I missed that one. There was one in here that I talked about that, except that it's okay to not be okay. And David remembered that. And so when David maybe didn't have anybody else to turn to, he penned and wrote and talked to his God. David expressed all of what I was kind of talking about in Psalm 51 so eloquently. He cried out to God because he knew that God, that what he did was not okay, and he knew that he was not okay. But he knew where to turn in the recovery process. David knew his God. I say that all the time. David may have messed up, but David knew his God. If you listen to, and I'm just going to read a few verses of Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You see the first thing he did? He acknowledged, listen, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." David acknowledged what was going on. He acknowledged he had a wound, you know. He acknowledged what all of the things, even against you and you only, I have sinned. Sorry. "So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." He goes on to say, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." He's applying the ointment. It wasn't a physical wound he had. Look up hyssop and what it does. It's a great cleanser. He's applying the ointment there. "Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And then he goes on to realizing, like say, he's not okay, but he changes his tone a little bit. "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice." You know, David knew that he could set his mind on obedience. But he says in just a verse or two later, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." He knew he could go through the rituals of obedience, but he knew that that probably wouldn't be enough. We need to God to give us a new heart, a clean heart, and a right spirit. Renew that right spirit within us, and only God can do those things. Without God's influence, We are destined to mess up the healing process with our selfish desires, our thoughtless actions, and our foolish choices. You know, I'm not going to continue to read all of Psalm 51. I want you to go ahead and finish that this week if you would. But I don't know. Like I said, it's been a week where I've noticed a lot, and it's just been so more prevalent for me that damage is done in an instant, but recovery takes a while. But there are things that we can do to make that recovery process go well with the healing process. Because, you know, 2 years from your damaged home or your wound, you're still going to be 2 years from your damaged home or wound, but you're either going to be in a better place with your home, with newness and new things and repaired things and no leaks and no problems, or you're going to have a wound that is healed and strong, or a wound that just won't heal. You know, I mean, you've got things in the middle, and you can do some things. Not everything is dependent on you, I know, but you can do some things for those healing processes. Spend some time with God. I think the first one was so important. Acknowledge what's going on. Acknowledge when you have sinned. Acknowledge your. I know when the Bible, when it says when you're putting your gift before the altar, if your brother has something against you, you know, there's something going on, go and make it right with your brother, then return to the altar. I just apply the brakes, sit down with God and say, what do I need to do? What I need to do in this recovery process so that I can heal, so that then, as David said, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. You know, recovery, as David said right there, leads to restoration between you and God. And that restored relationship will lead you to lead others to restoration between them and God. It's a great plan. That's how you build a kingdom. Hope you have a good week. I didn't keep you too long. You'll have a great day and a great week. Read Psalm 51 this week. See you next Monday morning.